Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, this is Samara Luna. I'm not sure what's going on. We're having technical issues right now. I guess it didn't play the intro, so I guess I will have to manually play the intro. And here we go.
Hello, this is Reverend Don Lewis coming to you from witchschool.com. Are you looking for the best in pagan and magical education? With more than 12,000 pages, witchschool.com is like having your own personal library with individual learning assistants to help you study. And Witchschool's anyone, anytime, anywhere education system is available any place on earth, anywhere you are and anytime you want it, as long as you have an internet connection. Witchschool's lifetime memberships are a great value. They really do last a lifetime. They've been there for years, and they'll be there for years to come. So get your membership today at witchschool.com.
You're listening to Pagans Tonight. Pagans Unite, Pagans Tonight. Many paths, one network. For over 5 years, we've been the place to connect with the best, brightest, and most trusted voices in the pagan world. Every night is Pagans Tonight.
All right, let's try this again. This is Samara Luna. And Ravenfire should be on. I'm showing her there. And I'm showing her unmuted, unless she's got her own phone muted. Don't know. I can't hear her. I hope everyone can hear me. Because I have a clue at this point. Because I'm not using my normal headset. But this is the Tree of Life Hour, brought to you by Pagans Tonight and the Tree of Life Community Center, a nonprofit group of people here in the Louisville, Kentucky area, trying to create space for people of earth-based religions and philosophies. And our show is all about the pagan community and things we think the pagan community should know and be talking about. So tonight's show was Ravenfire's idea, so I'm hoping she can get on here and talk at some point. So we're going to be discussing climate change and probably discuss a little bit of weather witches and stuff like that, which I don't really do. So I am going to pick a song, though, and let it play and see if I can get her back on the board. So we have our discussion. She says she can hear me, so I guess you all can hear me, but she's having issues. So I'm going to pick a song real quick. And my computer would speed up. But why would it? So let's try. I'm going to play some Incubus. How about that? Let's play Heart of Lilith Damon Romantica mix. So, and then I'll see if I can get Ravenfire on the air.
Shadows of the dream.
fashion. Come and die, so you can be reborn. Hear the sirens sing, hear the death knell ring.
Issues, they happen, and they usually happen when you least expect them. Even with bright, shiny new gadgets, they happen. So, yeah.
Yes. Especially right now, I think there's a lot of. I think the weather's affecting a lot of things, including mood.
Yep. Which is kind of what we're talking about tonight. I wanted to kind of talk about a few things weather and climate related. There's a hurricane going on I kind of wanted to talk about. It's the 10-year anniversary of another hurricane going on. We've also got some crazy climate news going on, and apparently my computer here is possessed.
Are you hearing yourself
off? No. I pulled up some of my news because there's different things I wanted to talk about, and all of a sudden the news site started playing a whole bunch of stuff. So I'm like, wait a second. You know, trying to sell people smartphones. Yeah. Tell me about it. So, yeah. So, yeah, there's a bunch of stuff that we do kind of want to talk about tonight, and a lot of it's just kind of topical. And the first thing that was kind of odd for me is, you know, fall has hit in the Ohio Valley. I have not seen leaves change yet. And, in fact, outside it was about, what, 85 degrees outside today?
I heard it got up towards 90. I'll tell you what, though, I have some leaves in my yard.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's something that it's just rather odd. Well, the other thing that something that came across my Facebook feed, and, of course, me, I'm one of these people that, you know, I don't necessarily believe everything on my Facebook feed, so I started digging into it, and then NASA confirmed it. And I'm like, well, if NASA confirmed it, it's got to be true. And we're talking about the carbon threshold and stuff related to climate change. So, and I'm one of these people. I am not a climate denier. I believe the science is out there established. Boom. I'm also one of these people who I think everybody should be required in high school as part of a high school education to take a class on research. And I said that recently on a Facebook page, and I'm gonna explain why I say that. Because that way, when you're confronted with articles and studies and contradictory reports about a scientific study, you know, I'm fortunate I had a research class in college, and I can sit there and go, oh, okay, who funded it? Who are the lead researchers on it? What are their connections and what type of study it is? From there, I can sit there and go, you know, with making those that handful of questions from there, I can kind of go, oh, okay, hey, perfect. It's something I consider beyond reproach, or, oh, that research is suspicious to me. So, you know, to me, it's like when NASA comes out and says something about our planet and our climate, come on, it's NASA, folks. These people got people to the moon. Obviously, something's wrong. And so what has happened
is
our
planet.
Some
people think NASA is a government conspiracy. Well, I can't talk all of a sudden. Conspiracy in itself. Because who was it? It was a pagan musician that posted out that I'm friends with on Facebook. He posted when he went to vote in the primaries. Everyone voted together. And apparently, uh-huh. I'm going to assume this was a Republican. Not sure, though. Said that he shouldn't be able to vote because he was wearing a political T-shirt. He was wearing a NASA shirt.
NASA's not political. It's not. It's okay. And as all those people who think the moon landing is a hoax, why would the government go to the effort to make warehouses and warehouses and warehouses upon documents? Documenting the Apollo program, seriously. But anyway, I digress. No, I don't consider NASA political. NASA is a scientific organization, and they've actually backed up this study too. So I don't see where I don't see the controversial in. You know, I'm one of these people, I look for things that are controversial, and I don't see anything controversial in this science. I really don't. So basically, you know, it kind of got me looking as far as what's going on with the climate. And NASA has come out and has said that in our lifetime, we have hit the 400 parts per million carbon threshold. They say that usually for humans to be safe from the nasty effects of climate change, we have to stay under 350 parts per million. Well, we've gone over 400. We've blown past that. And scientists are saying that it will never return below that in our lifetime. Because usually what happens is they're used to September kind of being a cooling off month. And if you think about, especially in the Northern Hemisphere, what's happened is, you know, you've got summer, you've got all this vegetation, you've got all these green plants, this and that, this and that. And usually, at least during the month of September, you start seeing us drop below that, you know, we have a drop below that carbon threshold. Well, it didn't happen. And the article even says, because carbon pollution has been increasing since the start of the Industrial Revolution and shows no sign of abating, it's more of a question of rather when than if we would cross this threshold. The inevitability doesn't make it any less significant, though. September is usually the month when carbon dioxide is at its lowest after the summer plants growing and sucking it up in the Northern Hemisphere. As fall wears on, those plants lose their leaves, which in turn decompose, releasing the stored carbon dioxide back in the atmosphere. At the Mauna Loa Observatory, the world's unique marquee setting for monitoring carbon dioxide, there are signs that the process has begun, but levels have remained above 400 parts per million. And one scientist said that it's possible that October would yield a lowly monthly value than September, but they don't think it will dip below 400 parts per million. And the article even goes on to say that grief excursions towards lower values are still possible, but it already seems safe to conclude that we won't be seeing a monthly value below 400 parts per million this year or ever again for the indefinite future. So, and they've even said, you know, even if we completely stopped emitting carbon dioxide tomorrow, it will take decades for our planet to recover from this. So, and that's the big thing. And these are from NASA scientists. I'm looking at their data right now. At best, in that scenario, one might expect a balance in the near term, and CO2 levels probably won't change much, but would start to fall off in a decade or so. Gavin Schmidt, NASA's chief climate scientist, said in an email, but in my opinion, we won't ever see a month below 400 parts per million. The carbon dioxide we've already committed to the atmosphere has warmed the world about 1.8 degrees Fahrenheit since the start of the Industrial Revolution. This year, in addition to marking the start of the 400 parts per million world, is also set to be the hottest year on record. The planet has edged right against the 1.5 degrees Celsius, which is 2.7 degrees Fahrenheit, warming threshold, a key metric in last year's Paris Climate Agreement. Even though there are some hopeful signs that world leaders will take actions to reduce emissions, those actions will have to happen on an accelerating timetable in order to avoid a 2 degrees Celsius, which is 3.6 degrees Fahrenheit, degree of warming. That's the level outlined by policymakers as a safe threshold for climate change. And even if the world limits warming to that benchmark, it will still likely spell doom for low-lying small island states and have serious repercussions around the world, from more extreme heat waves to drought to coastal flooding and extinction of many coral reefs. It's against this backdrop that the measurements on Mauna Loa have taken on added importance. They're a reminder that with each passing day, we're moving further and further from the climate humans have known and thrived in, and closer to a more unstable future.
Haven't some coral reefs already started to die?
Yeah, the Great Coral Reef is actually already starting to bleach. And then we've got some other problems going on too with this. The Arctic, the polar ice caps. We've got some issues there because they're not freezing like they're supposed to. But yeah, the Great Barrier Reef, I'd say a good portion of it has bleached.
So, and you know what, everyone, this is really something, especially as pagans, with working with the energies of the earth and such, that we really should be concerned with.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is kind of our bread and butter issue almost. It's the whole thing with the climate change. Now, someone said that, you know, with when we talked about the Montreal Protocol and fixing the ozone hole, it actually helped delay a lot of things for global warming, you know, different things that we would do. Let's see. Because the other thing that we've got going on is the oceans are getting more acidic, which is messing with the coral reefs. Right now I am looking at a picture from the Great Barrier Reef where this coral reef, everything is like white. Long-term survival of coral reefs will depend on how well they deal with rising ocean temperatures. Corals, the animals famously build reefs, get most of their energy and color from microscopic algae that live inside their tissue. This unique arrangement is very sensitive to surroundings, and when the water gets too warm, the corals expel or consume the algae and turn white. If the warm water persists, this bleaching can starve corals to death.
And so people know, yes, global warming is a natural occurrence, but it usually does not happen this fast.
And not on this scale. I mean, you know, here's the thing. The science is in. I mean, when you have people like Bill Nye, the science guy, who works on, he's now working on climate issues. I mean, I don't see where, it's like the people who are funding climate deniers, the people who are funding that are people who work with the oil and coal industries. I mean, those are the people who are funding it. They're funding climate denial versus, you know, 97% of the scientists on this planet agree that climate change is happening, that global warming is happening, that we are screwing with our climate. These, I mean, you know, to get 97% of the scientists on a planet, on this planet, to agree on anything is something rather remarkable. And when you have 97% of the scientists, 9 out of 10 scientists say global warming exists, climate change is real, we are screwing our climate up. When they're saying that, I hate to say it, and they've been saying it for decades, and it's like, you know, not very many people have been listening, at least, you know, people out in the mainstream. Something interesting, you know, that I recommend people watch, and it actually has a really good basic breakdown of some of the science behind global warming and whatnot, is a documentary done by Al Gore, An Inconvenient Truth. I mean, it's a very good documentary, and he actually breaks it down in non-scientific language, which is, you know, for some people, that's something you need to hear. Because, you know, scientific technical terms, you know, those $20 words throw people. Sometimes they even throw me, and that's, you know, the problem is what we've got going on now is we've got with a two degree Celsius temperature, if we hit that much global warming, and we're close, we are very close. We could see a 1 to 2 meter sea level rise, which could put cities underwater. We're talking New Orleans, New York City, half of the East Coast would wind up going underwater just because of that amount of sea level rise. On top of that, what happens as things get warmer, ice in the polar ice caps and in areas like Greenland, it starts to melt. The more fresh water you get, the more it messes with the pH balance and the ocean temperature, which messes with the climate even more. Because the other thing that these things do is they release carbon back into the atmosphere. Once again, carbon's too high. So we have this problem. And there's things that we can do about it as human beings, as people of this planet, as good citizens of this planet. There are things that we can do about it. The problem is that our policymakers and stuff are still kind of screaming like, oh, it doesn't exist, it doesn't exist, it doesn't exist. Or, you know, it's like the policymakers that understand it and want to do something about it are blocked by people who basically are not listening to science. And that's the last, and that baffles my mind. You know, they're like, oh, Hurricane Katrina was an act of God. Well, yeah, you know, yes, hurricanes, you know, hurricanes pop up. We know that. But getting Cat 5 hurricanes, yeah, the reason we're getting a lot of Cat 4 and Cat 5 hurricanes is the South Atlantic is getting warmer and warmer, which gives these hurricanes fuel, gets them stronger, has them go further inland. You know, it's not completely an act of God. I mean, it's an act of nature, yes, but we had a hand in making it worse. And what I think what we need to do as citizens is start going, okay, what can we do to reduce carbon emissions? I mean, the Paris Accords did a lot for that. They really, you know, it talked about different things in that we can do, that countries can do. The problem is that they're not doing it. Our government won't even sign on to the Paris Accords because half of Congress thinks that global warming is a bunch of BS. So,
no, of course, right now, with the weather changes and stuff, of course, we can't really say whether the Hurricane Matthew that's going on right now, if this was caused by global warming or if it's just a, you know, every decade type deal thing. I guess when there's shorter amount of times, like less than a decade between these kind of events, that's when you know it's okay, something's going on. Right now, there hasn't been enough, really, to be able to determine that, if it's affecting the weather drastically, at least from what I've read. But I do know that, you know, there are some other events, though, that have happened. Like, I think we're getting tornadoes more often. We're seeing tornadoes where there usually isn't tornadoes.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that. But I do want everyone, you know, send positive energy out to the universe for everyone out in Florida right now and Georgia, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
At least in the coast is getting some stuff. And plus, Haiti's already, I think they've already got the count at over 200 people have died. So, you know, send that energy out there. Let people know that, you know, you love them and you can help them. And, you know, you may not have the money to send them items to help them rebuild, but at least you can do is send some energy out to the universe to do with it as it will to help them.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. They've got different areas of the state have got mandatory evacuation orders. Actually, right now I'm looking at a picture of Hurricane Matthew from space. My gosh. Reminds me of another hurricane that I was watching that I was kind of tripping out about.
And I will say that I have some family in Florida right now. My cousin lives in Orlando. She was on her way to Alabama last I checked on Facebook. But I do have family, my grandmother, my mother, my sister-in-law, and my niece and two nephews are all at Pampano Beach, which apparently is south of the mandatory evacuation, and they decided to stay and batten down the hatches in the resort they're staying in. So, but I did just get a phone call. They're down to about 50, or I didn't get a phone call, I got a text from my grandmother saying that it's down to about 50 miles per hour winds right now there, and the worst of it's already passed them by, and they're still good.
Oh, that's very hopeful news for your family.
Yes, because I was kind of worried there for a little bit. Apparently, it moved north a little bit. Where it was hitting land moved north a little bit, which is good for them, but not good for the people in the north.
Right, right. Well, and like I remember watching. And, you know, for people who know me well, they know that one of my favorite cities on this hemisphere is New Orleans, Louisiana. I freaking love that city. I love going there. I like the people there, the food. Oh, my gosh, the food. I could go on for hours about the food. Samara's heard me go on for hours about the food and about the city and everything else.
I will go one day.
I remember. Yeah. Well, hey, let me know. I'll go with you. The worst part of that drive is that diagonal drive on I-55 through Mississippi. Because from where we live now, it's about 10.5 hours. Or at least from my house, it's 10. I can get into New Orleans in about 10.5 hours. But anyway, I remember sitting, because I was at a hospital at the time, just some unrelated personal stuff with a relative. I remember sitting there watching all the data come in about Katrina, and they're talking about this, and they're just like, well, you know, they're saying New Orleans is about to take a direct hit. New Orleans is about to take a direct hit. And then Katrina happened. And granted, some of the things that caused the flooding in New Orleans was not completely because of – it was because of Katrina, but yet it wasn't. It was more like the levees that were supposed to protect the city failed. And, you know, people, the Army Corps of Engineers have been kind of screaming for years, you know, hey, look, well, we need to up the levees. These levees can only take a Cat 3. And, you know, we're starting to see Cat 5s like we haven't seen them before. And maybe we need to get the levees around the city. Well, the levees failed. The pumping stations failed. And the city flooded. And I remember actually going down to New Orleans. I'd say, about 3 years. This is 3 years after the hurricane I went down. And I've actually got a picture on my Facebook page of a house that has FEMA marks on it. This is 3 years after that storm. I mean, that's how bad that storm devastated the city. And the research on it is actually showing that it, you know, that we're having these big giant Cat 5s affect us more. And they even said, you know, that Louisiana is losing a lot of its coastline, in that it's losing a lot of its outer lying swampy areas. They're kind of getting drained and filled in, but a lot of this area was kind of there to kind of help absorb the impact of these storms. And it's not that humans put it there. It's just the planet kind of put it there. Because what happens is when a hurricane hits land, it doesn't have fuel. So, but what has happened is this water's gotten warmer, and you're when it doesn't have as much land in front of this area of the Gulf Coast. And I mean, it devastated Louisiana, it devastated Alabama, it devastated Mississippi. I mean, parts of Florida. I mean, and it's all like right there. I mean, it's crazy how it looks. I mean, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, oh my gosh, was apparently just, it was ripped to shreds. You know, New Orleans got it bad, but New Orleans didn't get it bad as parts of Mississippi and Alabama and even other parts of Louisiana. I mean, and that's the thing. It's like with what's going on with our climate, you know, we're starting to see more intense storms. It's and like right now I'm even looking at the hurricane advisory and the projected path of Hurricane Matthew. I mean, it's just like, wow. I mean, and the thing about it is that we as humans can actually do something about this. You know, we can demand that our government officials, you know, stand up and start regulating carbon emissions even more. We can insist on buying cars that are low in emissions. We can insist on buying hybrid vehicles. We can insist on doing a lot of things. You know, we can help accelerate the timetable of switching over to solar energy. There's so much that we as humans can do, and we are an adaptable race. We are an adaptable race of people, the race of humanity. I mean, we've survived ice ages before. We can survive this. We can adapt and we can thrive, but we have to do something about it. We have to do something about it now, or else, you know, the planet's going to be uninhabitable for our grandchildren, even possibly our children. And that's something extremely scary, and that's something we do have to think about. And I think I've lost Samara here.
I'm here. I was just thinking about how much weather is going to hit everyone in, over the next couple weeks.
I know.
Because I was thinking about how all that weather hit us, even up here around Louisville and around Kentucky and Indiana from
Katrina. Yeah.
And this one is supposed to be, what, just as bad, if not a little bit worse?
Mm-hmm.
So even though this one's not coming from the south towards us, this one's actually coming more from the east, so I don't know if that'll make a difference or not.
Right.
So, but I guess one thing that, I don't know, I guess one thing we can address, though, are weather witches.
Yeah. I think you know a couple.
Yeah, so do you. So,
yeah, but most people don't talk magic with me.
I met you in a Wiccan class before you became heathen. I talk magic with you all the time.
I know.
So here's the thing, though, is that I don't consider myself a weather witch at all. So, but we do know some weather witches. So I just happened, because we couldn't get in to come on tonight, that I wanted to, you know, use Google and see what came up. You know, I found more about a comic book with a character named Weather Witch than I did about actual weather witches. After searching through 3 pages of search results, I found 2 articles on weather witches. And I found, I found a third thing where someone asked the question, what is a weather witch, in a forum?
Really?
And no one really replied to her. Like, it's on a pagan forum, and because she was talking about how her friends have noticed that the weather seems to change with her mood, not the other way around. And they think that she might be a weather witch, a natural weather witch. So one person posted, are you sure it's not that you're just reacting to weather? Another person posted a saying of, like, in February, if thou hearest thunder, thou shalt see a summer wonder. Like, it's a whole poem. I'm not going to go into it right now. And then someone else said that, another person also said that weather can seem to change according to mood, just because you notice slight changes. And then another person went into the old wives' tales and spells for the people that would be on ships, like knotting, tying knots in a rope, and the sailors would pay for each knot. And they would undo the knot when they found themselves in doldrums near the equator. They would untie a knot and chant a little rhythm and prayer for wind speedy recovery. So I just thought that was odd that no one, that I can't find a lot of information about a weather witch, like what exactly a weather witch is.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, but a weather witch, a lot of times you're known as a weather witch if you can naturally or easily modify the weather. And I say modify because you're not going to ever completely change it. Because from my understanding from talking to weather witches, if you try to completely change the weather, it can bite you in the butt. Like if you try to completely change it, it can come back because you're only delaying the inevitable. It's going to come back. And if you are delaying it for too long, it's going to come back even worse. Isn't that what you understand? Because we had this whole conversation at Puff 1 year, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Well, yeah, and like, it's like, yeah, you can kind of affect a storm to kind of skate around an area, but you don't want to move it too much, because if you move the storm around too much, then people who weren't going to get hit are going to get hit. And I mean, there's all sorts of stuff to it. And I'm just like, okay. Because
that energy has to,
you know, that's, yeah, it does. It does have to go somewhere. So
I did find one really neat article. This is on the otherworld-apothecary.com. It's an article
mm-hmm.
on traditional weather witching.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about there are references to weather magic as early as ancient Greece, as in the quote by, I can never say the philosophers or the historians' names from that time period, Empedocles. And you'll stop the force of the tireless winds that chase over the earth and destroy the fields with your gusts and blasts. But then again, if you so wish, you'll stir up the winds as requital. Out of a black rainstorm, you'll create a timely drought for men, and out of a summer drought, you'll create tree-nurturing floods that will stream through the ether, and you will fetch back from haze the life force of a man who has died. I now want to read the rest of it. So I'm going to bring back a life force. So, and I know in our Wicca 101 class, oh, hold on one second, I dropped my headphones. Sorry. And I know in the Wicca 101 class, our teacher actually tried to teach us a little bit of manipulating the wind. Do you remember that?
Yeah, that was...
I didn't do too good at that.
You either, huh?
No, which is probably why I'm not a weather witch. No, but Serenity did pretty good at it.
He did. He really did.
Because Serenity and I was in the class together. You were actually a year ahead of us. But Serenity did pretty good. And Serenity is a weather witch. But that's to avert weather. He tends to bring the weather, not avert it, not delay it. He tends to bring that rain straight on.
Yeah. Yep.
So, but this is pretty interesting. It's one of the most basic magical ways for calling up a wind is whistling. Tales in Appalachia tell of those gifted with the talent of whistling up a wind. Those who aren't gifted naturally with this talent can make whistles out of alder wood to conjure the wind. Incidentally, the predecessor of the Irish tin whistle, the Faden, is made from alder wood.
Hmm.
Bull roars, a long flat wooden blade on a string, can also be whirled around in the air to call up the wind, especially when made of a lightning-struck oak. So in Cornish craft, such tools are used to call spirits. Also, specially made weather-working brooms can be swung about your head in the same manner. Scotch broom is an appropriate material for a broom made to stir the winds in the sky. Its pungent yellow blossoms are allied with the creatures of the air, and its seeds are dispersed over great distances by the wind. Oh, and the charms for the knotted charms I was talking about for the sailors, it says they were made by going to high windswept place and tying a certain sailor's knot into a stout piece of rope to capture the wind. Winds from different directions or varying forces may be captured using this method. Three such knots are tied in the charm, often with each containing a wind of varying strength. Traditionally, this charm is then sold to sailors, but good luck getting a sailor, fisherman, or navy man to buy it nowadays. They all have motors now.
Yeah, it's true.
So, and then rain, You can use brooms to bring the rain. The broom end is flashed in fresh water. A river, spring, stream, or basin filled with water from such a natural source, and the drops are flung into the air over your head. Though there are many different plants that have rain-bringing properties, perhaps the plant par excellence associated with weather charming is heather. Heather is allied with the realms of the mist and rain and grows upon the wild heaths of the British Isles. And medieval incense recipes specifically to make it rain includes heather. And it calls for henbane, heather, and fern to be mixed together, smoldered beneath the sky to bring forth rain.
Interesting.
Protections from storms. Here we go. This is what some people are going to need over probably the next month. It is protection from and prevention of storms. I don't know if I'd try to prevent one, though. Maybe ease it a little bit, but... In the mountains of the Appalachians and the Ozarks, there are a whole host of spells to prevent storms. One is to take an axe that you've used to chop wood and rush in the direction of the approaching storm with it over your head and swing it into the ground at the edge of your property, and presumably the edge of the field or garden that could be damaged by the storm. This will split the storm and save your land. Pocket knives can also be used in the same manner to nail down and thus delay a storm or to cause it to blow over and hit elsewhere. Like most magic in Appalachia, the ability to do this is said to be one that's taught or a natural skill some folks have. And let's see, the charms to protect your house and person from lightning, a house leak known around here as hens and chicks. I don't know what that, isn't that, place on the roof protects the home from lightning, though it must never be cut down or destroyed, or its former possessive power will be reversed and catastrophe will ensue. Other methods of protection are plant a rowan tree, I've heard that before, at the front door and an elder at the back of the home, or to hang a pouch of mistletoe from the roof. Well, that was interesting. But yeah, that's like one of the only articles I can find. So most of the stuff I keep finding is people asking what a weather witch is. So I guess it's anyone that can naturally manipulate the weather.
Yeah.
So, but it is about that time.
It is.
So I guess it's time for me to go to Facebook. So, oh, by the way, everyone, apparently there were dozens of arrests at an India call center linked to IRS scam calls.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's going all over Facebook. I hope it's true. I shared it without verifying it, but I hope it's true. I figured some
yeah,
people
I
need
saw
some
it.
Happy news, even if it's not real. Okay, so I'm trying to get to the events coming up. So, let's see, tomorrow at 6 p.m. is Shadow Moot starts through the 9th at Cedars of Lebanon State Park in Lebanon, Tennessee. And it's co-hosted by Raven Moon Hearth and the Well of Shadows. I'm not seeing if they're taking people at the door or not, or at the gate. Do you know?
They might be. I'm trying to find it myself, but you know.
They posted the schedule.
Yep.
Looks like they have a lot going on. Let's see. I'm looking. I'm not really seeing. Yeah, I'm not really seeing, but I guess you can probably try to contact them on on Facebook. It says on the thing, admission is $40 per person above the age of 12, and day passes are $20 per person. And you can pay by PayPal, but and they also would prefer if you're doing a day trip, you pay in advance. So you might want to get with them on Facebook, send them a message, see if they get back to you. And before you say yours, also October 7th, tomorrow, Occult Principles, Reagan and Steffi Grimassi. I think this may be closed for people to register now, but it's at Pandora's Box in Norwich, Connecticut, tomorrow at 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. And that would be really cool if I could go, but I can't. And now it's your turn.
Yeah, so tomorrow night at Wits in the Highlands at 7 p.m., we are having our pub moot. So come out, pizza, heathen adjacent, you're welcome. Come join us. We'll have pizza, sandwiches, beer, and talk about all sorts of interesting things.
And then October 8th, I don't always mention concerts, but this one is Emerald Rose's farewell concert, their last concert, 12 p.m. to 10 p.m. I doubt they're going to play that whole time, but you can check it out. Starbridge Event Center in Murrayville, Georgia. They're having it where it all started, they say. It's $15 per person for the event. Camping tickets are available for an additional $10 per person. So it's probably like a mini festival. Let's see. Then we have Preparing for Samhain. It's Saturday at 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. at Asheville Raven and Crone in Asheville, North Carolina by Byron Bowers. I wish I could go to that, too. There's a lot of things I wish I could go to. October, like this one, October 8th, Ohio Valley Witches Ball at the Radisson Hotel, Cincinnati Riverfront in Covington, Kentucky. It's 7 p.m. to 2 a.m. Saturday. It says this is the first annual Ohio Valley Witches Ball. I thought it was just a continuation of the previous ones that were in the area, which was one of the first ones, but I guess that one is now defunct. So you can check it out. Tickets are available at circleofmotherearth.org. Let's see. We have PAC October Meetup is October 11th from 7 p.m. It says 7 p.m. to 10 a.m. the next day. I don't think that's right. I think it was supposed to probably say 10 p.m. that night. So this month we're going to talk about shielding and the methods of shielding. So this is going to be, and for those that don't know, it's Pagan Alliance Kentuckiana. It's going to be at Denny's in Louisville, Kentucky. And again, it's at 7 p.m. October 11th. Ravenfire might be there.
Yeah, I'm right now I'm planning on it, barring work.
Yeah.
For those of y'all who don't know, my work tends to own me.
Yeah. October 12th, Samhain Workshop at Acacia's Way in Fort Knox, Kentucky, October 12th at 7 p.m. And then let's see, we also have Summerlin Grove Presents Festival of Souls. It's going to be at Meem and Shelby Forest State Park in Millington, Tennessee. Tickets are available at summerlingrove.org. And I believe a lot of the same people that go to PUF and attend PUF will be there. So, let's see there. Oh, and just to let everybody know, this isn't a pagan festival, but Rosenwald's German Medieval Festival in Du Bois County, Indiana, which is in Ferdinand, Indiana, they are actually going to be having a hand fasting. The festival is October 14th through the 16th, and they are going to be doing a public hand fasting, I believe the 15th that night. I just thought that was pretty cool. October 14th, Lothlorien Women's Retreat, Learning from the Land, October 14th through the 16th at Lothlorien Nature Sanctuary in Bedford, Indiana. Tickets available at elvinhome.org. October 15th is Atlanta Pagan Pride Day 2016 at Atlanta at Decatur, Georgia. Tickets available at atlantapaganpride.org. It is a free event. I'm sure the tickets available link is just mainly for, to figure out where to go. Let's see, we also have the second annual psychic fair at Miami Valley Unitarian Universalist Fellowship in Dayton, Ohio, Saturday, October 15th, 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. See, we also have creating prayer cards Sunday, October 16th, 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. at Asheville Raven and Crone in Asheville, North Carolina. That is also by Byron Ballard. I'm going to go ahead and through the next weekend, and then that'll be it for tonight. Sound Roots Festival presented by Coven of the Blessing Moon. This is also by with Akasha's Way. It's going to be at the Cattle Ranch on State Route 298, South Providence, Kentucky. Tickets available. There's a link for squareup.com. There is an updated schedule on the website so, or Facebook page, so please check that out. And there is also Witch's Ball, October 22nd, at the Florian Nature Sanctuary in Bedford, Indiana. Tickets available at elvinhome.org. And then I believe that is, I'll go ahead and go through the end of the month since it's Fallon. Salon Open Circle, October 26th at Akasha's Way, Fort Knox, Kentucky. And there is also going to be a Halloween, Salon Halloween Festival. It's going to be at Bar Marley in Knoxville, Tennessee. Tickets available at holdmyticket.com. So you're going to be celebrating Halloween like the Vikings. Salon Festival with Circle Sanctuary, October 28th through the 30th in Barnville, Wisconsin. Tickets available at circlesanctuary.org. Witches Ball, October 28th at Circle Sanctuary. Also go to circlesanctuary.org. That's at 9 p.m. Spirit Fest, October 29th at Shelby Park in Riverside Pavilion, which is where? Do you know? East Nashville.
That's in Nashville, Tennessee.
And I'm going to say that's it for what I need to announce right now. However, can we make a congratulations announcement to a mutual friend?
Sure.
I'll let you do it since you're more involved in it than I am.
Okay, which one?
Amy.
Oh, you know more about it than I do. You know more about it than I do.
How do I know more about it? I'm not even heathen. How do I know more about it?
Because you do, actually, okay. Because I've been working.
Oh, okay. Well, Amy, I'm not going to go into her last name, but
Amy,
really
yeah.
Sure.
The fact that she she's now the art
she is
the
now
art
the...
outreach. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. She is now in the art outreach director, I think, for the Trope. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here it is. She will be taking the seat as chair of a new Heathen Arts Initiative Committee. This exploratory committee will investigate ways for the Trope to promote the arts within our membership, to aid heathen artists, and to expose the wider public to heathen art. The ultimate goal of this exploratory committee is the creation of a team or program to advance heathen arts and troth artists and to increase the profile of the organization. So, Anton will probably have her on at some point here soon. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely.
So, I just want to give a big congratulations to her because she is someone that we know. And was there another announcement that I missed?
No, I thought you were talking about somebody else besides Amy.
Oh, okay. All right, well, that is all for tonight from me. So I'm just, as far as next week's show, I am working on something, but I'm not sure if it's going to be able to get together in time. So just watch our Facebook page. By the way, that's facebook.com/treeoflife, L-O-U-K-Y, or just L-O-U-K-Y, sorry. Just watch our Facebook page for any announcements. We also will share little tidbits of news, little stuff we find interesting. So watch our Facebook page. You'll learn all kinds of cool stuff. So everyone have a blessed evening, and we will talk to you next week.
And y'all be safe out there.
And I guess I need to find a song. I wasn't ready. Let's see. Let's do Spiral Rhythm. Let's do Moon Is High.
Okay.
So talk to y'all next week.
The moon is high on this night of power. The children come at the witching hour. Our hands are raised to the four directions. Spirit power is ours again. The moon is high.
listening to Pagans Tonight. Pagans Unite on Pagans Tonight. Many paths, one network. For over 5 years, we've been the place to connect with the best, brightest, and most trusted voices in the pagan world. Every night is Pagans Tonight.